Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Back on college football today. 12 o'clock games are just underway. We'll keep you updated for the next hour. We were talking about Iowa Northwestern. Very intriguing battle. Northwestern pushed Notre Dame to the limit. Last week, couldn't get the victory, couldn't get the cover. They were catching 9.5, lost by 10. Now they play a team in Iowa that they defeated last year, Rich, in overtime. And 2 years ago, did get the victory in Iowa City. It's a very tricky line. I'm going to go with Iowa here. It's not one of my best bets, yeah, but I do like the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, one of my best bets of the day. Sounds odd.
Better.
One of my best bets of the day is Northwestern. I mean, I know it looks very baity. Like, I'm trying to be baited into this, but Northwestern has won 12 of their last 13 Big Ten games. Think about that. Last 13 Big Ten games, 12-1, including 6-0 on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that has been very resilient. I know they have flaws. I know they're unbalanced offensively, but the defense is very good. What has Iowa shown us recently to lead me to believe that they should be a double-digit favorite? Is it still, last time I looked, it was 10.5. I don't know if you have current numbers, but
I saw 10. It's like trickled down. There's been a little money on Northwestern, just a tinge, you know, to knock it down from 10.5.
Yeah, I mean, and then I look at your beautiful shirt. I see the purple. I'm picturing Pat Fitzgerald in
you
purple.
Like it? It's beautiful,
I'm
right?
picturing Clayton Thorson and Isaiah Bowser, a little Flynn Nagel on offense. I can't see where there's a 10-point separation. When I looked, let me see, what did I have? You know what I had this line on Sunday before the lines came out?
You had it 4.
I had it 4.5.
Yeah, see?
I thought this was a 4.5.
I'm into your mind.
I mean, do you think there's a 10.5-point gap between Northwestern and Iowa? Listen, it's freezing in Iowa.
Right.
Okay, this morning it was 10 degrees in Iowa. I took the first flight out of Waterloo Village from Iowa to here in New York City. And I just think this is a game that's going to be very low scoring, close to the vest, and Northwestern wins it outright.
Well, maybe Duffel Bag Boy believes that way too, because the line is down to, in terms of the total, is 42.5.
Okay.
So here's the thing: I think when you look at the 10.5 point number in terms of this matchup, teams that Iowa struggle against traditionally are more wide open teams like Purdue that could stretch them vertically. Northwestern, even though they're a heavy pass heavy offense, they're a one-dimensional offense that can only run the football. They're averaging around 95 rushing yards per game. They're getting better slowly, but they're not going to be able to get into short third down situations unless they attack them over the top on each and every down, and I think that's where it favors Iowa. I looked at this, and I was curious because Florida State's ranked 125th out of 129 teams in terms of rushing offense. You know who's in that last five group in terms of five teams? Last five in FBS in terms of rushing.
Got to be Northwestern.
Northwestern, yeah. Stanford, Washington State, San Jose State, Florida State.
Wow.
That's the bottom. Now, Washington State, we know why, because they chuck it 55, 60, you know, times a game.
Yeah.
And they're only averaging 73 yards.
Cam Akers is on Florida State. Bryce Love is on Stanford.
So Northwestern, 95 yards per game. Last year with Justin Jackson, they were up in the area of about 150.
Let me ask you this. In terms of Iowa, the offense, Nate Stanley's, he's had good weeks. Yeah. He's had bad weeks. Utilizes the tight ends very well. Running game has been so-so this year. You look at that Northwestern defense, which has been pretty solid. Where do the yards and the points come from for Iowa, especially if weather is a factor? I think this is a 3 or 4 point game. Yeah. Could be in the favor of Iowa, but I think this is like a 23-20 type of a ball game.
It wouldn't
if
shock
you're going to give me, we had for our purposes for the show, we had 10.5. To me, that's a number that's bloated.
Yeah. See, I'll take Iowa. Not one of my best picks. And Iowa laid this number, if I'm not mistaken, 2 years ago in Iowa City. I picked Iowa on the show. I remember it vividly. Northwestern did strike the outright win in Iowa City in that matchup. So they are traditionally play Iowa very tough, and this game did go into overtime, and they did prevail in that matchup by 7 points. Now go on the road. It's going to be very intriguing. Could they be tired after the win over by Notre Dame, the loss last week in Evanston, an emotional aspect? That could be the only attribute.
Let me throw out one more number for people wondering who to pick in this game. 3:30 game today. Northwestern has not lost on the road this year.
Yeah. So it's
you know, they've won 6 straight Big Ten road games, and they're 3-0 this year on the road. Every one of their games this season decided by 14 points or less. They tend to play close games. Doesn't matter if it's Notre Dame, 10, or if it's Akron by a couple. They play close games. That's what Northwestern does. So if you're going to give me 10-plus in a game that would bring them a step closer, keep this in mind also, Northwestern, 2 wins away from locking down the Big Ten West, which very few people expected. Now, the next 2 games are considerably easier. This is the toughest game they have left, but win this game, they're almost assured of playing in the Big Ten title
game. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. It's 3:30. I believe it is the Fox game front and center stage, so check that out. We'll keep you updated on the scores throughout the day. Here's a line. You talk about Northwestern and Iowa being a fishy line. Utah 3.5 over Oregon. Oregon's won 4 of the last 5 in the series by 17.7 points per game. No Tyler Huntley at quarterback, no Zach Moss. Tell me how Utah's favored by 3 points in this ballgame.
Well, you know, prior to my pick was Utah. I like Utah over Oregon in this game, particularly at home. I have no problem audibling. I don't at any point, at any time. If I get new information at the line of scrimmage, I'm changing plays. Okay. But not here. You know, Utah is one of those programs that is very resilient because of that staff that they have with Kyle Whittingham. The defense travels well, very well. This is a program that wins based on defense in the running game. Now, initially, I loved Utah because I expected Zach Moss to take some of the heat off of Jason Shelley, who was replacing Huntley. Now, losing Huntley hurts. Losing Moss is devastating. So, I mean, this is going to be difficult. It's going to come down to the defense. They're going to have to shut down Justin Herbert. I think that's what happens at home. They need to bounce back after last week's debacle. Utah does. I think Utah survives in Salt Lake City, but with the new backfield, it's certainly not going to be easy.
This is strictly on Rice-Eccles Stadium, I think, the 3-point spread, because you look at teams that traditionally challenge Utah, it's teams that could spread them and challenge them over the top, just the way Arizona State did last week in Tempe. I think it's the same type of matchup. Justin Herbert hasn't looked sharp for the most part over the last couple of games. I think he breaks out here. This is a Utah defense that is allowing close to 250 passing yards per game. I think speed could be a factor. And when you have an offense in Oregon that's converting close to 45% on third down conversions, you're going to move the chains and put pressure on Utah's offense to match them score for score. One elite receiver's Covey outside of Covey. They don't have a real go-to guy with a new battery mate. I think Oregon wins this ballgame convincingly. I think it's right what I said, 17 points or more in this ballgame.
You know, the one thing I've learned about Utah over the years, Joe, is they tend, if they're down, they're not down for long, whether that's in season or much like we said about TCU, you know, Gary Patterson has a bad year, he bounces back. Utah tends to bounce back after a bad outing, and they were absolutely embarrassed by Arizona State. And just real quickly, I mean, Arizona State and Herm Edwards, I tweeted this out a few days ago. ASU is the only team in the Pac-12 South that still controls its own destiny.
Incredible.
So if ASU wins out, we could be looking at an Arizona State, Washington State Pac-12 championship game, which would be exciting, but certainly not what anybody predicted back in August. Nobody predicted ASU, WSU.
Gabe had
He'll tell
AS.
Us he He'll did.
I was on Herm.
I was all over Herm.
I'll credit Gabe. He was on Herm against Michigan State, and we were on him last week.
Credit me too, buddy. I had ASU in that game. Yes, I did.
But we were on him last week, Arizona
State. Reach over and pat me on the back there for that one.
I'm patting you right now. I'm patting you right now. No, great. It was
that wasn't
great,
my back, by the way. You
I can't
me
reach. I'll be off camera if I did that. But, yes, Arizona State playing very well. Yeah. I just think it's a bad matchup. We'll see how that game plays out. I mean, I am intrigued to see how Utah plays from an offensive perspective in this ballgame.
Watch the defense.
If they fall behind early, though, I mean, they're going to have to adjust.
We don't know anything about Jason Shelley. Yeah. He's a young kid with no experience. So, you know, that's obvious. I think they take the pressure off Shelley. They get very conservative on offense. They'll run the backups behind Zach Moss, but I think it's the defense that steps up.
Yeah,
I think long evening for Justin Herbert as he faces a lot of pressure from Bradley and I and the rest of that defense.
Yeah, we're going to see. I mean, contrast in styles, that's what makes games. So that's an intriguing Pac-12 battle a little bit later today. Let's talk about the huge battle in Chestnut Hill between second-ranked Clemson and Boston College. Boston College playing very well, did get a gutty road win over Virginia Tech, but Clemson has owned the series over the last five meetings, Rich. They're 5-0 over the Eagles by 26 points per game. I mean, this offense is clicking on all cylinders with Trevor Lawrence. They're rushing for over 200, passing for over 200, and this is an offense in Boston College that still wants to run the football with AJ Dillon. 20 is a big number. I know this game was 14-7 last year in Death Valley before Clemson pulled away 34-7. But Clemson's a battle-tested team that wins on the road. I think they win this ball game by 24 points. I think they're destined in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere will be like nothing we often see at Boston College.
But it's Chestnut Hill, though. I mean,
I think they'll be fired up, though. Night game.
Nothing that Clemson hasn't seen, though.
No. I don't think it'll be overwhelming by any stretch. But I think it'll be fun to see Boston College as amped up as they are. Steve Adazio will be, you know, pumping his chest out. You know, he'll be fired
Chuck
up.
Amato-ish.
Yes, he definitely is very chesty. Talking about his dudes. And, you know, BC's got a very good defense led by Zach Allen. A.J. Dillon is not 100%, will play, but his ankle's not 100%. If BC has any chance of keeping this competitive in the second half, who does it come down to?
A.J. Dillon.
I was going to say Anthony Brown. It's got to be Anthony Brown.
Yeah.
Listen, they're going to
make plays.
They're going to key on stopping A.J. Dillon. And that battle at the line of scrimmage, that veteran Boston College offensive line versus that dynamic defensive line of Clemson will be something to watch. But I think they're going to key on stopping A.J. Dillon in the ground game. It's all going to come down to Anthony Brown. Can Anthony Brown complete passes, stretch the defense out a little bit, inject some unpredictability to the Boston College offense? That's the only way they stay in it. But I said it earlier in the show, the more I watch Clemson, the more I feel like they're on an Alabama-type run. The way Alabama gashes opponents, that's what Clemson is doing week in and week out. NC State, to me, that win was impressive. Even though NC State has gone south recently, that was impressive. They are just demoralizing opponents. I think they pull away in the second half behind Travis Etienne.
Yeah, I agree. Here's the thing, the matchup that you want to see play out from an offensive perspective. Clemson is averaging around 265 passing yards per game. Boston College is giving up 221 passing yards to opposing offenses. So third downs will be critical. You're talking about a Clemson offense that's converting right in the area of about 48% on third down conversions. And conversely, their offense still only averaging around 36 to 37%. So to your point, Anthony Brown's going to have to make some plays with the passing game, because when you look at Clemson, statistically, each and every year, they're in the top five of third down defense. They're allowing only opposing offenses to convert 27% of the time and only giving up 178 passing yards per game. So if they could shut down A.J. Dillon, force third down and long situations, A.J. Brown better make plays over the top. And that is the advantage for Clemson and Brett Venables in that matchup.
Joe, we talk about November surprises, which always happen. This is a weekend that's a little sleepy. We don't have that Alabama LSU caliber game on the schedule. Yeah, BC, I mean, could this be the spot where they shake up the entire playoff picture? Because not only would they hand Clemson their first loss, but how about this? BC would be in the Atlantic Division driver's seat.
Incredible.
And think about that.
I mean, was down on BC too.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Here's the thing that I was impressed
with. They'll be fired up. I mean, as long as BC can stay in this game, they'll be fired up in Chestnut Hill. I mean, they've been waiting for this kind of an opportunity for a long time. They have some star players on both sides of the ball. If BC ever pulled this off, we could be staring down the barrel of a Pitt BC ACC title game.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, don't even say that. Well, I'll just say this about Boston College, that I picked against them a couple of weeks ago against Miami. I was dead wrong. They took chances on first and second down. And in order to win this ball game against Clemson, you're going to have to break tendency. You're going to need to be aggressive on first and second down to take the pressure off the offensive line, because that offensive line going up against possibly the best defensive front in college football, that's where Anthony Brown will be pressured. He'll be forced into short to quick decisions, and that will favor Clemson. But if you take the pressure off of him and pass on first and second down and then look to run the football with Dylan later in the matchup, then you're going to have some opportunities. And I think that as long as they do that, they could be in this ball game along with jumping up first. Alabama does it as well as anybody in the country. You look at every game for Alabama. Well, Clemson does the same exact thing. They jump up early and really look to tighten the noose to force you to play from behind.
I wonder if I don't want to overstate the importance of weather. We do that a little bit this time of year. It's going to be freezing. It's going to be at night. Trevor Lawrence has never played a game in his entire career north of the state of Virginia. So is that any kind of a factor for Clemson? You know, some quarterbacks, you know, they grip a cold ball, their hand gets cold, they lose feeling, their accuracy goes down. Could that have some kind of an impact for Trevor Lawrence? This is a good, veteran, aggressive Boston College defense. Be very eager to see Zach Allen, the defensive end of Boston College, versus Mitch Hyatt, the left tackle for Clemson. That's a matchup that really could impact Trevor Lawrence. So I love the young player. I think he's going to have a great college career. He's a dynamic and very mature threat. But this is an interesting challenge for him to go up to Boston.
It's a night game. Yeah. Has he played a night game yet? I don't think he has. They haven't been...
The A&M game, was that daytime?
But he wasn't the starter. He wasn't the
Kelly
guy.
Was.
Kelly Bryant was the starter in that day. He did have a big touchdown pass in that ball game, but this is front and center stage, 8 o'clock under the lights.
Interesting.
Something to keep an eye out for in Chestnut Hill. We both like Clemson in that matchup, so we'll see how that game plays out at 8 o'clock. When we come back, we'll be talking about the other games later tonight. Keep it where it is.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on College Football Today, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and our cohort, Gabe Morenci, live in Piscataway, Michigan, Rutgers. He's on the field. He's donning his Michigan jersey. And we'll see how that game plays out at 3:30 a little bit later. Huge battle in the ACC. We talked about it. It's Pitt. It's Virginia Tech. Intriguing battle. Pitt did lose this matchup last year in Blacksburg, Rich, by 3 points. They had an opportunity, I believe, to knock off Virginia Tech in the upset. Couldn't get it done. Pitt is streaking right now, and Virginia Tech coming off a very disappointing loss to Boston College last week. But I'm rolling the dice here. Give me Fuente. Give me the 3 points. I think Virginia Tech bounces back with the W later
tonight. Hard to figure either of these teams at this point. I mean, Virginia Tech has been a complete mystery, as looks like South Carolina might have scored again.
Yeah.
Taking 14 it to Florida.
Nothing, they're taking it to me right now.
Yeah. The revenge of Will Muschamp. Pittsburgh, I mean, Pittsburgh's got momentum. Pittsburgh has something to play for. Pittsburgh is at home. They have Darren Hall running the ball well. Defense, they're up and down. I mean, I can't figure out that Pitt defense for Pat Narduzzi, which has been a big disappointment. I expected more out of that Panther D for years under Narduzzi. But with an opportunity to step closer to an ACC Coastal title and what that would mean to the program and the coach, I'm going to take Pittsburgh, despite the fact that Virginia Tech has played better on the road than they have in Blacksburg this year.
Yeah, they're going to have to run the football. We'll see. I mean, that's been the weakness of Virginia Tech this year. They're allowing close to around 180 rushing yards per game against opposing offenses, so we'll see how that plays out. When you look at Pittsburgh, a run-heavy offense that's averaging 230 yards on the ground, also passing for 177 through the air. And when you look at the other matchup for Virginia Tech and their quarterback, Willis, Pittsburgh secondary has given up close to 250 per game in terms of the secondary. So Virginia Tech does strike early and often. That could be the recipe to get Pitt out of their comfort zone and win that matchup. Again, I'll roll the dice. I'll take Fuente as an underdog in that battle. The other matchup that I really like is Iowa State and Baylor. Now, Iowa State won this matchup last year in Waco by 10 points, but Baylor's won three of the last four in the series by 14 points per game. Charlie Brewer came off the bench last week, completed 4 of 8 passes, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns, and led the victory over Oklahoma State. I really like the way Baylor's playing. They have an opportunity today to become bowl eligible. They're catching 17 points. I know they haven't played well on the road, but give me the points with Baylor. I think they're in this game from start to finish.
Yeah, my main concern here, Joe, I talked about earlier, which is weather.
Yeah.
Baylor, obviously, in Texas, Waco, Texas, used to a very different climate. That offense, which is predicated on speed and motion and creating space against defenses, is going to have a hard time against the best defense in the Big 12. The headline for me is what Iowa State has been able to do and continues to do under Matt Campbell. This will be the segment of the show when we pat Matt Campbell on the back, which we do every week, because he is doing a remarkable job for Iowa State. They have injected new talent, new energy into the offense with Brock Purdy. They run the ball with David Montgomery. Baylor will struggle to stop David Montgomery today. And that defense of Iowa State tops in the Big 12 right now. I'm going to say it. I think Iowa State wins the rest of their games and appears in the Big 12 title game. I think it begins.
They beat Oklahoma?
They lost to Oklahoma. Can they?
Can they?
I don't think so. They lost by 10, 37 to 27.
That was in Ames, though.
That was in Ames. Yeah, I think Oklahoma. I can see an Oklahoma-Iowa State game because Iowa State gets Texas next week. They have Baylor today. I think it'll be closer than the line. Iowa State is typically a team that's better as an underdog than as a favorite. I think they beat Baylor. 17 is a heck of a high number, though. Baylor's playing with confidence, too.
And Iowa State, to me, is a better underdog than they are a favorite.
Exactly.
Even though they got the victory over West Virginia, I get that. I understand they've beaten some quality opponents. I just don't think they're there just yet. Again, they're going to have to run the football against Baylor. I mean, Baylor's allowing close to 190 rushing yards per game. David Montgomery in that offense is only averaging around 129 yards on the ground per game heading into this matchup, one of the worst rushing offenses in the lower half of FBS. But credit, I mean, Brock Purdy, Hakeem Butler, and Matt Campbell finds ways to get his playmakers on one-on-one opportunities. To me, that's the difference. Again, I think Iowa State does win, but I think Baylor's in this game from start to finish. They're fighting for bowl eligibility. And credit Matt Rhule, because I think they're the Iowa State of this year, because I was on Iowa State last year, but they're starting to buy into the system.
Big win last week against Oklahoma State. I mean, that could have been the pivot point, the crossroads for the season. If they're going to make it into the postseason, which would mean so much to Baylor and Matt Rhule, I think that changed on that comeback win over Oklahoma State. They battled to the end. Charlie Brewer's done a nice job. He's got good skill position talent. The addition of former Tennessee running back Jalen Hurd now catching passes for Baylor. That's a team on the ups. But Iowa State, you know, Matt Campbell, I'll say it one more time. Somebody's going to potentially scoop that coach up. I think a major program, if he's appearing in a Big 12 title game at Iowa State, when a lot of folks thought that Iowa State would be down this season, he's looking at a major promotion. Not sure what opening will be there, but that's a coach that can really take it to the next level.
And the one thing about Matt Campbell that he does better than any other coach is the offensive line play. Did it at Toledo. He's doing it at Iowa State. When he took over that team 2 years ago, they were allowing close to 40 sacks per game, per year. And he got it down to around 19 last year. This year, they're protecting Brock Purdy. I mean, a true freshman quarterback that comes in, and he's progressed in the system. And that's why he's making his reads and progressions, because he has time to throw the football. So without a running game,
He's their third quarterback this year. Think about that. It was Kyle Kemp. It was Zeb Nolan. Now you're down to the true freshman, Brock Purdy. And then I'll throw this out there, too. The entire staff at Iowa State, if I asked you to name, or if I asked the average fan to name two Iowa State defensive players, I don't think they could do it. I don't think they could even name two defensive players, and they lead the Big 12 in defense. Now, I know things are all relative. Big 12 defenses are not traditionally stingy, but the uptick in offense, and you mentioned Hakeem Butler's been fantastic, the big wide receiver on the outside. The uptick on offense, the play of the defense, they could go a long way in the Big 12.
They play that type of defense where they force you to work down the field. They force you to beat yourselves. And as long as you can do that, they don't give up a lot of big plays over the top. And that's why they're in each and every ballgame and match up against the Oklahomas, against the Oklahoma States, because they're not giving up those big plays where you see a wide receiver just all of a sudden, you know, 60 yards, nobody around them. They force you to throw short to intermediate routes, and they're always there. They tackle in space, too. And that's a testament to Matt Campbell and the defensive staff for Iowa State. I'm looking forward to that game. It's a 3:30 battle in Ames a little bit later today.
FS1 for that game.
FS1 for that game. So check that out at 3:30. The last game that we're going to talk about right now is LSU and Arkansas. LSU opened up as a 14-point favorite. It's down to 11.5, 12 in this ball game. Is there a hangover after that loss to Alabama? I mean, they got blown out. They got shut down. Ego was shut up last week in Death Valley. I think there could be a little bit of a letdown. Even though they're seventh in the nation, I like Arkansas here to keep this game close.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the audible at this point because I'm logged in at LSU, but the more I think about it, the spot really does favor Arkansas in this game because, you know, Razorbacks coming off a bye, and byes are traditionally important for first-year coaches this time of year. Not only are the kids getting healthy, but it's an extra week for the staff to work with the players that they inherited. So this is really a chance to evolve for Arkansas, which has been playing gradually better. You know, Ty Story was injured, the quarterback, earlier this year. Now he has a chance to get healthy. LSU, Joe, not only coming off of the emotional beatdown at the hands of Alabama, but first road game since October the 6th. They haven't traveled in over a month. So the spot could favor Arkansas in this game. Line down to 11.5. It means more to Arkansas. I'm penciled in for LSU, but would not be shocked if Arkansas gets the cover
this
here.
This is one of these rivalries between both of these teams where crazy games happen. I mean, a few years ago when Les Miles was there, Arkansas went into LSU and knocked them off in Death Valley. 2 years ago, Darius Geis had a huge day in Fayetteville. But again, you never know what you're going to get out of Joe Burrow and LSU now, especially with the I mean, you had an opportunity to knock off the top-ranked team in the country. You didn't score a point. I mean, and again, that factors into the mindset of an offense that's only averaging 190 rushing yards per game, but more importantly, only 170 passing yards per game. You have a quarterback in Ty Story that has moved the football against some of the better teams. He put up 31 points, 34 points on Alabama. So, I mean, this is not a joke in terms of what Morris has there. He's going to look to put the pedal to the metal and force LSU to match them score for score.
And again, it means a lot more to Arkansas right now than it does to LSU because LSU not only was demoralized by Alabama, but all of the goals that they had. I mean, this time last week, they were looking at the possibility of still winning the SEC West, still winning an SEC title. That goes away. So you have to wonder if LSU is motivated at 100% to go into Fayetteville to face Arkansas. If you're thinking of taking the points, I think it does make sense. That's the reason why this line has come down so much.
I am a little shocked that the committee put them at 7, though. I mean, you have a one-loss West Virginia team that they're ahead of. I mean,
who is West Virginia beating? West Virginia does not have the quality wins. Like, I don't look at two losses versus one. To me, LSU's losses are more palatable than West Virginia's. They got beat up pretty bad by Iowa State. LSU has quality wins. Who is West Virginia beating?
But if West Virginia, let's say, runs the table, you got to put them ahead of LSU with two losses.
They would have a conference championship as well. I would have to say yes.
I think it's okay. We're putting LSU ahead of you now. Now prove us wrong. I think that's what the committee's doing by actually putting LSU at number seven against some of the other teams that won loss. Okay, you have one loss now, but run the table and prove otherwise that you're deserving to be ahead of LSU at this point. So I don't have a problem with it per se, but if they run the table, I would have a problem of still having LSU ahead of them at some point should they both win out of their games.
I think the committee, Joe, really values conference champions. Yeah. So you know, if the Big 12 champion is West Virginia and they would have beaten Oklahoma then possibly in back-to-back weeks because they finished the regular season in Morgantown against Oklahoma, could face them in the Big 12 title game a week later. If that happens, I think West Virginia would jump teams like LSU.
Yeah, quick update. Florida trailing South Carolina. I need them to come back. They're down 14-0 in Gainesville. Look horrible on defense. Jake Bentley has thrown for two touchdown passes in that matchup. Kansas State, no score. Vanderbilt, very intriguing here because I mean, this is a Vanderbilt team that's played traditionally very well on the road this year. I mean, they got the victory over Arkansas in that matchup 2 weeks ago. Kyle Shermer's looked sharp, and now Missouri a little bit of a hangover after the dominating win over Florida. They were laying 17 points in this ballgame, down 14-7 in Columbia. I'm shocked at that. And then Illinois playing better, tied 14 apiece with Nebraska.
That offense of Illinois. You know,
they're getting better.
Lovie has that offense starting.
He keeps his job, I think.
Yeah, I think with a strong finish, if he wants to come back, he'll come back this year.
Yeah, TCU up 3-0 on West Virginia, and then Wisconsin did jump up 7-0 on Penn State.
And Florida on the doorstep looking to score a touchdown.
I like to just, well, that's good. Let's just keep it.
Florida on the 5-yard line. They're getting close to scoring. You know, feels jinxy to you?
No. Ohio State, Michigan State, I've been watching this game as the show's progressed. Defensive battle. Both offenses cannot move the football. That favors Michigan State early on now because you would think, again, Ohio State, a one-dimensional offense, hasn't run the football the way Urban Meyer wants. That's going to put a lot of pressure on Haskins as the second half and second quarter play out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, rough year for Ohio State. I mean, they have the talent to be competing for a playoff spot in a Big Ten championship. They have just been so inconsistent, unpredictable. Two of the areas that surprised me, Joe, is the offensive line underachieved, defense underachieved. That's not acceptable for Ohio State. I wonder if there's some residual effect to the offseason. You know, they had the problems with Zach Smith, the assistant coach. Urban Meyer was suspended for the first couple of weeks. We saw Ryan Day on the sidelines. It seems like this whole year has been chaotic, and I wonder if that just has yet to go away.
Well, what about this too? Nick Bosa got hurt, different type of defense, but his leadership. We saw Devin White last week with LSU, missed the first half. To me, the LSU defense came out flat in that ballgame. You know, how big of a loss is Nick Bosa? I mean, not just from a playing perspective, but from the leadership perspective of a defense, because a defense takes on a mentality per se. And they haven't played, I want to say, Ohio State defense in terms of you see a lot of missed tackles, especially in that Purdue loss. They don't tackle in space fairly well like they have in recent years. That factors in. And again, if they're going to be a playoff team and more importantly challenge Michigan, even though they've owned Michigan's number, they're going to have to play much better defensively.
Yeah, listen, you don't get better by losing what I think is, if not the best player in college football, one of the two or three best players in college football. He's a difference maker every time the opponent has the ball, Nick Bosa, that is. But it's not an acceptable excuse for me because you're Ohio State. I mean, your defense is just littered with blue chippers, with five-star players, with top high school talent. You still have a Draymond Jones. You still have a Chase Young along the defensive line. You still have a Jordan Fuller in the secondary. They're littered with stars on defense. So, yeah, of course, it hurts to lose Nick Bosa, the leadership, the talent, the pressure that he creates. But man, this defense, even early in the season, even when Nick was there, they were still getting gashed for big plays. Who was the opener for Ohio State? Oregon State. They gave up a couple of big plays.
Yeah, they gave up
35
points to Luton in that offense. Now, granted, Oregon State's impressed me in terms of not, you know, they're not going to be world beaters in the Pac-12, but they're fighting for Jonathan Smith. they're getting better each and every week. I saw them fall behind 21-0 to USC. They battled from behind.
The Colorado win, right?
And they were in that ball game. So that's all. As a young head coach, when you take over a program in year number one, that's what you want to see. Are the kids fighting from the first quarter to the fourth quarter? If they're doing that, it's much easier to instill that type of philosophy.
Well, and that brings me back to tonight's game between Florida State and Notre Dame, because, you know, the talent is there. Talent is always there at Florida State. They don't have any problem attracting top talent throughout the state of Florida. But is the heart there? Yeah. Can Willie Taggart get these kids to be passionate, to play clean football, to play without mistakes, to play for 60 minutes on both sides of the ball? That's what it's going to take. Even without Ian Book, that's what it's going to take for Florida State to stay in it against Notre Dame.
I will say this. I'm intrigued to watch that game because they'll be donning retro unis. So keep an eye out for that.
Florida State will.
Florida State all white and Notre Dame all green. So check that out at 7:30. Nice. So
good optics.
Very great optics. When we come back, it's best bet time. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello taking you the rest of the way right here from Studio 34.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
On College Football Today, it's that time, best pick time. I already gave out my 12 o'clock best bets, but if you want in-game, we were both on Wisconsin. I'm on the Gators, even though they're down 14-0. I think they'll bounce back. And Michigan State, no score with Ohio State a little bit later in the second quarter. I like Mississippi State here with the 23 points. I think Alabama wins, but Nick Fitzgerald finds a way to keep this game close. Give me the 16.5 with Baylor. Think they're in striking distance every step of the way. I'm taking Florida State with the points. I don't care that Ian Book isn't playing. I like them with Ian Book playing. Florida State and James Blackman, I like them. Later today, they lose by 10 points or less to Notre Dame. Give me the Hurricanes. Upset City. They don't need the 3.5 points. Miami dominates that matchup against Georgia Tech. They've won 4 of the last 5 over the Yellow Jackets, including last year, 25-24.
That my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah, I feel good about my best bets today. We're off to a good start with Wisconsin. I think that's 7-7. We're getting north of a touchdown. I think for our purposes for the show, we were getting 8 points. So I like Wisconsin. I'm against Joe, which usually doesn't bode well for me. Joe usually beats me when we're head-to-head, but I like Ohio State. I think the talent in the end will prove to be too much for Michigan State, which is banged up and facing a lot of attrition, particularly on offense. Ohio State has won 6 straight in East Lansing. I think they make it 7 in a row today. Those are my only 12 o'clockers. Okay, the rest of the day, guys, I think I have a preponderance of winners here. Auburn over Georgia, rivalry game. Auburn getting more than 2 touchdowns. Georgia wrapped up the SEC East last week, and I think this really matters to Auburn. It's been a tough season. Now they have a chance to, you know, kind of really take a swipe at a rival that's still looking to make the playoffs. So Auburn getting 14.5. I like the Tigers. Northwestern getting more than 10 points makes absolutely no sense to me. They've won 12 of their last 13 Big Ten games, 6 of those on the road, 3-0 this year on the road, facing an Iowa team which is struggling offensively. The one thing Northwestern does is they play tough defense. They can throw the ball with Clayton Thorson. I think this is a one possession game. You want to give me more than 10 points, I will take it. Utah. Yeah, I put in Utah before the Zach Moss news that he was going to be out. Hopefully that brings the line down a little bit. But Utah at home in a bounce-back situation against Oregon, in a new quarterback, new running back, that's tough. But the defense will prevail against Justin Herbert. I like Utah laying a field goal over Oregon. How about Arizona State? Yeah, we haven't talked much about Herm and ASU today. Huge win. You had it last week. You had it in spades last week because they dominated Utah. They're doing it offensively. They play pressure defense under their coordinator, Joe Danny Gonzalez. Look at that offense. Manny Wilkins, Eno Benjamin for ASU. What the hell is going on here?
His papers are all over the place.
My picks are possessed. My picks are starting to fly away. I like ASU minus 12. I'm probably talking too long. That's why. ASU minus 12.5 over UCLA. I don't think UCLA has enough defense to control N'Keal Harry, Eno Benjamin, and Manny Wilkins. I'm with Joe. Miami. You know what Miami does well under Mark Richt?
They run sideline to sideline.
They could better. They stop the triple option.
They do.
What did Mark Richt do in his Georgia days against Georgia Tech? He dominated. Yes. He knows how to stop the triple option. Miami's fading. I think this is a game they step up. The defense has been terrific. The offense is awful. Back to N'Kozy Perry at quarterback.
I don't like that, but I don't.
I think defense prevails. I think they shut down the triple option. I'm taking USC minus 5.5 against Cal.
Yeah.
I think Cal is so one-dimensional, folks. They play good defense. Cal, USC's athletes, Aka Cedric Ware, the running back, over 200 yards last week. A compliment for JT Daniels. I like USC laying 5.5. And that's it. My picks are possessed, which means...
I feel like you had 100 picks. I'm going to call you Gabe 2.0. I don't feel like you were rattling off for an hour.
It's Gabe Morency, the sequel.
I'll just say this quickly about Miami because we'll get into that ballgame. It comes down to speed for me. I mean, you're talking about the team in college football that has the most rushing yards per game in Georgia Tech. They're averaging 377 yards per game. But Miami's defense, you want players that can run sideline to sideline to disrupt running lanes. Miami's only allowing 141 passing yards per game. They're holding opposing offenses to 123 rushing yards on the ground. And more importantly, here's the one matchup, the real reason why I like Miami. Third down defense, as bad as they become from a record perspective, still holding opposing offenses to 23% on third downs. They held Duke to 3-16 last week. I know it was rain. I know it was a muddy game. But, you know, against Boston College, 33%. Against Virginia, 30%. I like that recipe. When you force three and outs and, more importantly, force Georgia Tech to beat you with the passing game, you have an opportunity. Coupled with the fact that Georgia Tech's defense giving up 48% on third downs as well, I think Miami wins this ball game.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's funny. I mean, we don't always mesh in terms of picks, but this was one of the first ones that I saw when the week came out. Yeah, when the week came out, one of the first things I thought was everybody's down on Miami. But that defense has been terrific. Gerald Willis.
Not the same defense in terms of turnovers, but they're a different defense.
Yeah, you're right. It's not necessarily turnover chain-esque like it was in 2017, but very stout at the point of attack. Gerald Willis, the former Florida Gator transfer, former blue chipper, from Florida, transferred, and really is having the kind of salary-run season that's attracting a lot of attention from NFL scouts in the middle.
I want to just throw out some games that I'm looking at quickly. I'll just rapid-fire them. I like Oregon State over Stanford. I said it last week. I was wrong in terms of the spread, but they did get the victory, Washington over Stanford. I think Stanford's a tired football team. They can't run the football. Oregon State catching 24. They lost this ballgame 15-14 last year. I'm not saying they win, but I think they're in this ballgame from start to finish. And Stanford, I think I said it before, they lose to Cal in 2 weeks when they play that ballgame.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, Stanford's had a very difficult season. David Shaw, I wonder if the bloom is a little bit off his rose. It's unimaginable to me that you could have Bryce Love and what was supposed to be one of the better offensive lines in the country and still be ranking near the bottom of the 130-team FBS. So, you know, I mean, he's taken a little bit of a step back at Stanford. Yeah. They're not championship caliber any longer. And Jonathan Smith, to your point, has those kids competing week in and week out. It's very different for an Oregon State. Oregon State being sub-500 and out of the bowl mix is a lot different than it would be for a team like TCU, which is under 500 and had different expectation. Oregon State is still fighting.
Right.
They have quality running backs. Artavis Pierce, Jamar Jefferson, the young kid. They have quality kids out of the backfield. I wouldn't be surprised if they keep this close.
And they have a signal caller in Luton that can move the football. If he did it against USC, there's no reason why he can't attack
Stanford.
Big
kid, big arm, and little by little, Oregon State is building
They're
a foundation.
Looking forward to next year, Jobs.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Matt Rhule and Baylor last year.
And Iowa State, they're fighting. They're losing closer games, and they're each and every battle. Here's one I couldn't get my handle on. Purdue, obviously, they have an opportunity to win the conference title, their division, against Minnesota and P.J. Fleck. Line to open up at 12.5. I think Minnesota, they play them traditionally tough. I'll take the 10.5 here. I don't love it, but I like Minnesota with the points in that ballgame.
Yeah, you know, PJ fired his defensive coordinator. So during the week, a new defensive coordinator, Rob Smith, is out. So you have some new injection of staff ideas or staff energy. Minnesota has just fallen off a cliff this year. You know, they lost Rodney Smith earlier in the year. They're working with a young quarterback, but the defense, which was solid in September, has just disappointed ever since. I mean, conventional wisdom would tell me that it's Purdue, because you have David Blau, you have a lot to play for, you have Rondale Moore, you have DJ Knox, Marcus Bailey on defense. Better team, but going on the road, I wonder if they can cover that many points. It's a lot of points for Purdue to give up away from home.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, granted, he's doing a fantastic job. After they lost three straight, they're focused. They're playing as well as anybody. And that was a gutty win over
Iowa.
Second
straight year. I thought he did a good job in his debut at Purdue as well.
He did. Kentucky-Tennessee is an intriguing battle. Kentucky, 5.5-point favorites. I'm taking the points with Tennessee. They again, I was on them a couple of weeks ago. Garantano slowly moving the football through the air, and that's why I like Tennessee. One-dimensional offense in Kentucky on the road, and Tennessee will, like, they're into this game. They know Kentucky, they can't lose to Kentucky again back-to-back years.
Well, they need it for bowl eligibility. Yeah. This is a 4-5 team. This is going to surprise you.
Kentucky?
I do like Kentucky.
I don't like the game, really. I would take
the reason, and we're probably on the same page, Joe. The reason why I don't like the game is because of the spot on the schedule. It's the week after Georgia. You're fired up at home. Now you have to go on the road to Tennessee. I just think this is a different Kentucky team. I think they're so good defensively, and they run the ball so well. Tennessee is challenged on offense. You know, Garantano has had a little bit of success lately, but Tennessee as a whole, they beat Charlotte 14-3. They managed two touchdowns, 14 points against the Charlotte 49ers of Conference USA. So they have major problems on offense. I'm going to bank on the fact that Kentucky still has something left in the tank after Georgia last week. I think they're a much better football team. Tennessee struggles to score. Benny Snell gets it going on the ground. I actually like Kentucky. Came close to calling it a best bet, but then I looked and said, on the road the week after Georgia, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm intrigued to see what Tennessee team comes to play. Can they show consistency in that matchup? We'll see. I believe it's a 7 o'clock kick.
You have a good memory, better memory than I do. Who else does Tennessee have other than Vanderbilt? Because I'm looking at that schedule, 4-5. You have Kentucky today. You have Vandy. Who's the other game?
I think they have an FCS game.
Okay.
I believe.
If it's FCS, then there's a legitimate shot to get to the postseason.
I believe it's an FCS because I know Florida plays Idaho later after this game with South Carolina. Yeah. So we'll see how that game plays out. Don't quote me on that one, but I don't think.
I think you're right because a lot of SEC teams next week. Texas A&M plays UAB.
Yes. Yeah.
So next week
Alabama and Auburn before it's a down week for the SEC next week in that matchup. One game that everybody was talking about, it's out of conference, it's Temple and Houston. I like King, I like Major Applewhite here. To me, I mean, I've been all over Temple. And granted, blue-collar type of team, they stepped up over 680 yards of total offense against UCF. Couldn't cover that number. It opened at 12 and dipped down to 10.5 by game time. I think this is a bad matchup. I'll go with the Cougars at home. Speed kills. They attacked that Temple secondary way Mackenzie Milton did.
Yeah, I agree. I like Houston in this game. I think a lot of people jumped off the Houston ship because of the shocking loss to SMU last week. I mean, did anybody see that coming? That was a real death blow.
SMU's been playing better. I had them against Cincinnati. I was their defense is slowly coming around under, not statistically under Sonny Dykes, but they're playing more physical.
Their performance.
They are. So, and they're up now. I mean, I believe they're winning now in their matchup against UConn.
Here was my thought at the beginning of the week.
17-7.
I thought this line would have been closer to 10. I look at the speed of Houston, their ability to score points. Last week, notwithstanding, if it was prior to last week, I think this line would have been about 9, 9.5 points. Last I saw, it was 4. Maybe that line has changed.
I just think
it's too low. Houston scores too fast, has too much speed on offense. Speed defensively as
four
well.
4.5, 4. I mean, it's now, back-to-back road games.
I like Temple the Russo too. Kid. We talked about it last week after the year. I think he's a legitimate player. Anthony Russo, the quarterback for Temple. But going to Houston, a faster team, the ability for Houston to score as quickly as they do. I like the Cougars. I think that's a small line.
Yeah, a couple of games that are underway, just intriguing. Ole Miss, Texas A&M tied at 7. And then you have Duke and North Carolina. Duke was a 10-point favorite in this matchup. Tied 14 apiece in the second quarter.
Yeah, another rivalry game. Yeah. You got to be careful giving that many points in a rivalry game.
Yeah, here's one. BYU trails UMass 10-7, laying 13 points. UMass is terrible in terms of run support. They're giving up 270 rushing yards per game. You have kids that are 27 years old on the offensive line. You would think Kalani Sitake, run the football. Run the football. That's all you have to do. Don't put the ball. I mean, Tanner Mangum is a solid quarterback, but why are you looking to pass the football? Run it against. I don't have an opinion in this matchup, but you would think that that would be the recipe. If they fall behind in this matchup, it could be lights out.
Have you watched Andy Isabella this year?
On a
wide receiver from UMass. He's been fantastic.
I know he's putting up huge statistics.
Mark Whipple has had a tough year at UMass, but offensively, when the quarterbacks are healthy, when Andrew Ford is healthy, with Andy Isabella on the outside, that's an offense that can surprise people. So it's interesting that they're off to a fast start. And Sataki's got to win. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. I'm not going to go that far. But this is his second disappointing season in a row at BYU, which is just not acceptable in Provo.
Yeah, couple of updates. Indiana 7-6 over Maryland. So that tight game, Maryland 2 field goals, couldn't convert inside the red zone. And then TCU defense all of a sudden
hanging around
3 up against West Virginia, which is intriguing because, Kyler Murray towards that defense, Kansas State moved the football, and now Will Grier all of a sudden.
Maybe a hangover effect for West Virginia?
You would think. I can't put my – that's what makes college football different. There's no consistency from week to week sometimes, and that's why you have to credit Nick Saban and the crew because they do step up each and every week. Missouri driving against Vanderbilt, that's going to be a game I'm curious. I'm going to watch after the show is over because I want Vanderbilt to win that matchup, actually. He deserves it, I think, Derek Mason. The way he's got that team, they fight hard each and every week, fighting to become bowl eligible. This would be a quality win over Missouri.
Little avocado toast, little Kyle Shermer. Does it get any better than avocado toast?
I'm going to go, woohoo!
And the 14, Commodores.
14 apiece, Florida and South Carolina.
It's a shootout developed.
It is. 14. Keep an eye out for this. I'm just saying, I know, but I'm watching this game play out. 14-0 UCF, but Navy is starting to put together drives. And I'm not suggesting in any way that they win this matchup, but they're catching 24.5, 25. If they get a touchdown early here in the second quarter, they'll slow the tempo down, and that could disrupt the offensive train for Josh Heupel and the crew.
Joe, give the fans your one game that is your absolute lock of the day. When you take a look at Joe's been doing well, and Joe has some best bets.
I'm going to give two. I was thinking it's Miami and Florida State tonight.
Florida State, you're that high on.
I'm that high on. I think if Blackman starts, it's Florida State, it's Miami. And I like Baylor, but not as much.
For me, it's Arizona State.
Is it really?
It is, because I think Herm has these kids playing so confidently.
I can't push that button.
And UCLA does not have the offensive line to contain the speed of that Arizona State defense with the young quarterback. I think Arizona State gets up early. UCLA is forced to have to press, forced to have to play in comeback mode. And I think something changed last week, really the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Look at what Arizona State did. They went into the Coliseum and they beat USC. Last week, that was Coliseum, wasn't it? You're looking at me like I said something wrong.
No, it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, Utah. 2 weeks ago.
Right.
2 weeks ago, they went into the Coliseum and beat USC.
Correct.
Last week, they beat Utah, which was the favorite at that time in the Pac-12 South. So you have some signature back-to-back wins. As long as they stay motivated, and I think Herm is good at keeping the kids focused and motivated, I like Arizona State to roll big over UCLA as they possibly get closer to a South Division title.
Wow, we'll see how that plays out. For Rich Sermonello and Gabe Morenci, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next Saturday.